You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is be truthful and honest. My scripture comes from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, which states, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the slight or deceitful craftiness of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him and all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. My text is Ephesians 4:25, which states, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Honesty is truthfulness. An honest person has the habit of making accurate, trustworthy statements about life, self, others, and God. An honest person represents himself just as he is and tells others the truth about themselves. Honesty is not expressing everything that goes through your mind. That is transparency. And a person can be honest without being transparent. However, no one can be consistently honest without a commitment to the truth. Honesty will, at times, hurt someone's feelings. But that does not mean that dishonesty is preferable. Dishonesty is disapproved of in Scripture. Psalm 101:7 states, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. This tells us that the ideal king will not allow the deceitful to dwell in his house, and he will not count them as intimate friends. Jeremiah 9:5 says this of a wicked society, and they will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity or wickedness. Speaking the truth or honesty is a mark of healthy human interaction. A person who knows the truth, but for whatever reason says differently, is a liar. The Bible emphasizes the importance of making true statements about God. To purposely misrepresent God is a serious offense. Trusting in lies is consistent with forgetting God. And those who claim to know God but contradict him or add to his words are also called liars. Honesty as a character quality is a sign of the Spirit's work in a person's soul. God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:19-17-19 states, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Therefore, his presence in a person gives rise to truthfulness. God's people are honest. Dishonesty has worldly rewards. Lying can often bring financial gain, power, or temporary satisfaction. But the rewards come at a price. Dishonesty leads to more and more wickedness. Proverbs 17:4 states, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Lying to fulfill worldly desires ultimately results in the loss of everything a person has, including his life. Mark 8:36 states, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? While it is sometimes tempting to lie, misrepresent ourselves, or downplay uncomfortable truths in an effort to avoid conflict is flattering. Psalm 12:1-3 states, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fall from among the children of men. They speak vanity of valueless words, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Again, at all times, honesty will hurt the feelings of others. It is inevitable. Proverbs 27:6 states, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A friend is willing to wound with the truth. Sweet words, if lies, are the enemies of our soul. That said, honesty should always be accompanied by gentleness. An honest person is motivated by love, not by an obsession with relaying accurate information. Proverbs 19:22 states, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Above all, the honest person is concerned with telling the truth about God and fostering the spiritual growth of other people. The great gift that God gave to the church at his ascension was that of the ministry of peace and reconciliation. The gift of the ministry is the truth of Christ's ascension. And ministers have their various gifts, which are all given them by the Lord Jesus. And offices, which Christ gave to his church, were of two sorts, extraordinary ones advanced to a higher office in the church. Such were apostles, prophets, and evangelists. The apostles were chief. These Christians immediately called, furnished them with extraordinary gifts and the power of working miracles and not going to mislead in delivering his truth. And they have been the witnesses of his miracles and doctrine. He sent them forth to spread the gospel and to plant and govern churches. The prophets seem to have been such as stated and explained the writings of the Old Testament and foretold things to come. The evangelists were ordained persons whom the apostles took for their companions in travel, and sent them out to settle and establish such churches as the apostles themselves had planted. And not being fixed to their particular place, they were to continue till recalled. And then there were ministers as pastors and teachers. Some take these names to signify one office, implying the duties of ruling and teaching belonging to it. Others think they design two distinct offices of standing use in the church. And then pastors are such as are fixed at the head of the church, with design to guide, instruct, and feed them in the manner appointed by Christ. And they are also called bishops and elders. And the teachers were those whose work it was also to preach the gospel and to instruct the people by way of encouragement. We see here that it is Christ's privilege to appoint for officers and offices he pleases in his church. And how rich is the church that had at first such a variety of offices and has still such a variety of gifts. How kind is Christ to his church? How careful of it and of its establishment? When he ascended, he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the gifts of the Holy Ghost are various. Some have greater, others have less measures, but all for the good of the body, which is taken from Christ's great end and design in giving gifts unto men. The gifts of Christ were intended by the good of his church and in order to advance the kingdom and interests among men. All these being designed for one common end, and is a good reason why all Christians should agree in brotherly love and not envy one another's gifts. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands, because he loves us so much. Let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is the life of peace. In Perth, Australia, there's a place called the Shalom House, where men struggling with addictions go to find help. At Shalom House, they'll meet caring staff members who introduce them to God's Shalom, Hebrew for peace. Lives crushed under the weight of addictions to drugs, alcohol, gambling, and other destructive behaviors are being transformed by the love of God. Central to this transformation is the message of the cross. The broken people of Shalom House discover that through the resurrection of Jesus, they can find their own lives resurrected. In Christ, we gain true peace and healing. Peace isn't merely the absence of conflict, it's the presence of God's wholeness. All of us need this shalom, and it's only found in Christ and his Spirit. This is why Paul pointed the Galatians to the Spirit's transformational work. As the Holy Spirit operates in our lives, he generates his fruit.